the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. The saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Psalm 126, there is an assurance there. Tears will avail, and they will prevail. Fifth verse, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. A brother who used to write to me, and whose writings are greatly used by God, Stuart, he decided that he would be a great soccer player. And as he began to advance in the soccer world, sometimes the crowd used to cheer him, carry him on their backs or to the door and present him to the mother. And the mother would say, "Son, I did not bring you forth for this." She had higher expectations for her son. And he was one of those used mightily by God just before the war in Europe, in many of those eastern countries where communism took over. And right after the war, there was another great awakening in those countries through the preaching and ministry of this dear brother. But such a discerning man, he knew what was the fraught and what was real revival, repentance and revival. Those that are ready to pay the price and will sow with tears and pray with tears, we also see how the Lord Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus. In the 11th chapter of John, we see in the 4th verse, Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jesus knew, and he said in the 11th verse, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Now here is a Savior who understands the sorrow, the bereavement of a family. You know, today, as we see dysfunctional families, and they fill the land, the divorce rate is now at 65%. And that amongst the churches. That means there's no truth at the altar. There is no commitment. And people say, "Oh, people are afraid to commit themselves." When you bring into this world a baby, you have a commitment. When you marry at the altar, there is a commitment. And they say more people are living together. You know, just like two dogs, you know. They meet occasionally. Now, this is going back to heathenism. When people had two or three wives. Now listen, You can't play with the things of God. Can't be faithful? Of course. If you allow your body to play with you, you become like a wild animal. Sure. You can become a wild animal at 80 years and let your body run away with your sense and with your morals or whatever. We see that taking place in what we call is the church. And I say, whose church is it? Is it? It's not the church of Jesus Christ anyway. Whose church is it? How sad. My dear friends, what we need today is people that will get hold of God and say, Lord, this kind of tragedy, this kind of sorrow, this kind of plague should not visit anyone for that matter, much less, you know, we have a responsibility for our families, for our children. But they are being continually brainwashed by this kind of thing. Free love, free sex, free immoral living. I don't see any concern. You know, the concern seems to be we should not offend the homosexuals. You know, if dogs had that problem, you wouldn't have any pedigree at all. The dogs don't have that problem. The horses don't have that problem. Oh, the breeders of horses would be in great trouble if they suddenly caught the contagion from our homosexuals. Where would the breeders have to go? My dear friends, listen. It has gotten to the point of utter absurdity. And bishops themselves are supposed to be homosexuals and flaunt the fact. What have they to give? They have nothing to give. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I wonder if we are even capable of this compassion which ought to be flowing out of our hearts. I see that the media has this effect of imperceptibly hardening us within. We watch it, we see it, we accept it. First we shrug and worry, but then gradually we accept it. You know, Christians are never fatalists. Get that straight. We never can come down to this heathen level of fatalism. Thus it must be. And we cannot stop this trend. There's nothing we can do. I have seen so many young people who had gone into homosexuality, delivered, set free. They never did say, oh, I was born that way, you know. So you had better excuse my continuing to indulge in that kind of thing. No, 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 no. It is a continual brainwashing that is taking place over the nations today. Until people are beginning to say, oh, perhaps it is like that. Not like that. God has not put it in nature. How much are we entering into the compassion and tears of our Lord? Of course, when Ezekiel called Jerusalem the bloody city. And when God told Ezekiel to warn, if you turn to the 7th chapter of Ezekiel, make a chain, for the land is full of blood, bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. And we see Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears. Jeremiah 9:1. Now, dear friends, Whereas Ezekiel was asked to show this city her abominations and was told about the judgment and the dispersion that was coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem, he wept over that city. You know, we had better ask God for this spiritual faculty. Now, are we not concerned for the glory of our Savior? Our focus is upon things. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, was ever the focus on things? Never. In the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, was ever the focus on material objects? Never. And a Christian's focus is never on material things. It's on eternal people. People for whom Jesus died. Friends, I fear that when compassion and tears and commitment decline, you will find yourselves also going down with the general crowd. For that, it needs a personal repentance. As a matter of fact, you cannot read the scriptures without personal repentance. I can't read these scriptures without practically daily repentance. Let us pray. Precious Lord Jesus, you showed us the way. That the way to the crown is through the cross. We want also to learn your manner, your methods, your lifestyle, your goals, your doing of the Father's will. Lord, have mercy on us. At this time, let us not be found to be defaulting in this vital matter of having compassion and weeping for our neighbor. Please, Lord, let us not go scurrying after material things, running after the world, hankering for filthy lucre. The concerns and the tears that are in our Lord Jesus may become our concerns too. Hear our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.